Got it? You got the picture. It goes on. Look around. Follow the rope. Everybody look. See? Back through there. It goes back through there. Now, look here. That's good enough. Thanks, buddy. This red part. Can everybody see the red? That represents your time here on earth. That's it. The rest of it is the rest of your life. Millions of years that way. This is your time on earth. And you know what's absolutely silly and crazy and foolish? Is that we tend to get, and people tend to get, so fixated on this part. And we're glued to this part. And people, you know what people do? And this is what your world's pulling you to do. They say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to work real hard. I'm going to work real hard during this part. I'm going to work real hard and save and get ready so I can really enjoy this part. And then I'm going to be able to travel, and I'm going to be able to eat what I want to eat and do what I want to do. And what they're not thinking is their bodies are going to wear out, and they're going to be sitting down, hardly able to do anything, probably. It's crazy. We're living. And all around us, everybody's living for this. And all the commercials and retirement and investment and live for this. You've got to be kidding me. Francis Chan says, people say to me, because of the way I'm living my life and going for it and not paying much attention to this, they say, you're stupid for doing this. And he looks at him and says, no, you're stupid for living for this. Millions of years. What are you focused on? Are you focused on this? Or are you focused on this? The Apostle Paul said this. He said, here's the place. Here's my finish line on this earth. And you know what I'm doing? I'm looking at that finish line, and I'm looking past it. And I'm looking that this is where life really begins, over here. This is where life is, and therefore, I am pressing. I'm pressing forward. I am straining toward the goal for the high call of Christ Jesus. I'm straining for this, and when I get to this, I'm going to bust through into life. And mortality will be swallowed up with immortality. And death will be swallowed up with life. And then it goes, and it goes, and it goes, and it goes, and it goes forever. That's what Hebrews 11 is talking about. We're like runners in the race. When I married Linda, and my proposal to her is what I said. I said, Linda, I want to finish my race well. I want to run this race and I want to finish it well. And I believe I've found in you somebody who can join my hand and run it with me. And if she wasn't like that, I could never have married her. I don't want to just get married just to have companionship and just to try to enjoy a few pleasant years here. Are you kidding me? Now, any pleasantness God wants to give me on this earth, I will take it. Right? I'm not talking about foolish thinking and asceticism and all that. But this is not it. We're running for something. That's what gives us the grace to go on. And therefore, we are thinking that we've got to preach the gospel to the perishing. We're thinking that we've got to get out there where they're dying, where they're perishing. They're going to have millions of years too. But it's not going to be in heaven. And so I have some quotes there for you. Look at the one by Spurgeon. And maybe you've heard this before. If sinners will be damned, read it with me, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. And if they will perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, at least let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let not one go there unwarned and unprayed for. Hey guys, listen to this. Listen to this. I am here on this earth saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. He saved me. He came and found me. And He brought me into His eternal kingdom. And I've got this much time to go tell others who are dying and perishing. And once I hit this line, I'll never have the opportunity through all of eternity to tell any lost person about the Savior. That's why Robert Murray McChain says, "Oh, how I wished I had a tongue like thunder, that I might make all hear, or that I had a frame like iron that would just never tire out, and that I might visit everyone on this planet and say, 'Escape for thy life!' Oh, God, help me use this, because what I do here is going to have everything to do with what happens here. And not just for me, but for other people." Are y'all with me? Listen, I'm pleading with you. Now, we want to preach to them the law of God so that they can be aware of their sin. And then we want to preach to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then we want to preach repentance and trust. And we want to have our eyes focused on eternity. I want to close with this little DVD audio thing. And what I'm hoping is that will help you, like it helps me, to rivet your focus to a life lived for eternity. So this is the martyrs prayer thing. And maybe the lights could come down and we could just spend a few minutes. Just sit back, put your stuff down, and I want you to think of what's said here, okay?
Joan of Arc was dying at the stake. She said this quote, "Every man gives his life for what he believes, and every woman gives her life for what she believes. Sometimes people believe in little or nothing, and yet they give their lives to that little or nothing. One life is all we have. We live it and it's gone. But to live without belief is more terrible than dying. Even more terrible than dying young. What do you burn for? What do you burn for?"
Jim Elliot said the famous words years before his martyrdom, "That man is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And he prayed as a young man, "God, I pray, light these idle sticks of my life, and may I burn up for thee. Consume my life, my God, for it is thine. I seek not a long life, but a full one like yours, Lord Jesus." Nate Saint, along with Jim Elliot and three others, American missionaries, were all martyred by the Aucca Indians, 1956 in Ecuador. It was only after many years that Steve Saint, Nate's son, Nate was the pilot, found out all the details of what had happened. The killing of his father and the others. When I just read the account a few weeks back of the details of the martyrdom, it was an overwhelming thing to read. It was painful. It was tragic. It was tremendously moving. One of the men, the last one, instead of running into the jungle where he could have easily gotten away, he just waded out to the water and in his broken dialect said, "Why are you killing us? We're not hurting you." And waited there until they came and speared him to death. And no sooner had they killed the last one, each one, the different ones, began to hear singing. And they looked up and there were these glowing beings in the trees, singing and praising God. Then when they were waiting and hiding, waiting for the retaliation, nobody came to kill them. They began to realize something's different about these people. That's why they were so open to the gospel when it came back. It's an extraordinary story. Listen to what Nate Saint wrote years earlier. "People who do not know the Lord ask why in the world we waste our lives as missionaries. They forget they too are expending their lives, and when the bubble has burst, they will have nothing of eternal significance to show for the years they have wasted." everybody's bubble is going to burst. Every one of us at the end of our lives, it's all gone. Then what? What did we spend our lives for? What did we pour ourselves out for? Where did we give ourselves to? Having a full life is not necessarily a long life. I want at the end of my life to say I fulfilled the purposes of God.
Father, hear our prayer we offer. Not for ills that prayer shall be, but for strength that we may ever live our lives courageously. Not for our remembering pastures, do we ask our but the steep and rugged pathway, may we tread rejoicingly.
What's it going to be like for you if one day when you die and you make it to heaven, you made it in, and on that final day, you look around and there's that table you've heard all about, and it's time for the marriage supper of the Lamb. And angels are gathering around and they're placing everybody in their proper seats. They say, come here. This is where you're to seat at the marriage supper. And you sit down and you don't recognize anybody around you, but they're all former Christians, all on fire, people that got saved sometime in their life and they made it in. And across from you, a little girl, and you look at her. You say, hi, what's your name? And she says, Rebecca. You say, Rebecca, where are you from? He says, Rome. And you say, Rebecca, would you talk to me just for a few minutes of how you got here? She said, well, we had a real hard life. My daddy, when I was 8 years old, I had to go to this big arena and I watched lions eat my daddy. With my own eyes, I watched lions eat my daddy. They killed him because my daddy loved Jesus. And I've never cried so much in my life as I did that day. 2 days later, they came back for me and my brother. And they took us to the same arena where my daddy died. And there were thousands of people cheering. They paraded us into the arena. And there was no one there but just us in that big arena and all the people. And then I looked around and I saw all these doors opening up around the arena. And out of every door came lions. And I'd never been so scared in my life. They had told me that if I just denied Jesus, I could live. But I couldn't do that. He was everything to me. He was my reason for living. I died that day. The angels came and ushered me into heaven. And I've been waiting here for the marriage supper. This is so special. And then she says, and how about you? What's your story? Friend, look at me. You better have one. You better have one. You better be able to say something.
Fact, did you know that 160,000 people were martyred in 1996 for the cause of Christ? One minister was just killed in Cali, Colombia, where we're building a church. Why was he killed? Because cartel members, drug addicts were being saved, dealers were being saved. What did they do? They killed the pastor.
He told us to drop him off, but I said, no, just leave me here. I can walk. That was the last time I saw him.
We are struck the mars of weakness. In our wanderings we are guided. Through and over your danger.
I want you to think of what this means. My life for the gospel. My life for the gospel.
With his death, it's like it encouraged us to want to do the same, to lay down our lives for the Lord and not just die for him, but to live for him. That can be harder than dying for him.
I want you to raise your hands to God. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, search my heart. Examine me even now. But this is my desire, my life, for the gospel. Whatever it takes, Lord, make it real, that I may live a life that makes sense in the light of eternity. Jesus, my life for you.